If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love that is the all that is. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, what is your deepest longing? What is your deepest longing? Your spiritual calling in this life. So if you're ready, let's take a deep breath together and allow the infilling of the whole spirit to come down over you and pour through you, integrating, clearing, cleansing, and aligning you with your divine purpose. We ask that any cobwebs that could be swept away through the grace of the divine this evening, that would be for your highest good, that that might take place according to your ability to receive and integrate. And you might want to send up your own intention tonight that you could receive greater clarity of your life's purpose. Let's do three beautiful hue chants. The ancient name for the divine source. Deep breath. Embodiments of the divine. What is your deepest longing? Your spiritual calling in this life. It comes forward as the backdrop of all the longing that you've ever had. If you look very closely at what you long for and get beneath the surface of how that's presenting through your personality, you'll find that your main longing is to merge in the love of the all that is. Bottom line, we all crave love. And why not? We are extensions of the very heart and mind of God, which is love. So be aware that humanity is the center of consciousness, that which we call the human kingdom, let's say, which is a bridge between the animal and the divine. Humanity is the center of consciousness where the divine plan of love and light works out. We are the hands and the commutators of the divine plan. That is what's so very important, is to realize that our collective, what we would call the human kingdom, is the means and the vehicle through which the divine plan of love and light works out. And each one of us is a one of conduit of a specific frequency of light, love, and sound, whose presence cannot be replaced within this continuum. You are absolutely essential to the fulfillment of this divine plan. So just have some tea with that thought, if you will. So what is your deepest longing? Your spiritual calling for this life. Bottom line, why are you here on Earth this time around? Have you awakened to the divine purpose that you were born to fulfill? It's very important to look when you say, I long for this. Where are you in the integration and receiving of that? Where are you in that calling yourself forward and evoking that spiritual calling into manifestation? You know what we're all doing here? We're all in process of integrating our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Because often we don't manifest what we truly say that we would like to, because we're not clear in our intention. We don't have a matching and an agreement between our thoughts, our ideals, our feelings, and our ability to clearly take the next step. Which, if you're all over the map with what you're feeling and what you're thinking and what you're believing, and you just end up confused and not producing anything but more confusion. So only when we act from integrated agreement on every level are we assured of definite manifestation. You know, Jesus and Sai Baba are perfect examples of that. Everything that came to the mind of Jesus and Sai Baba immediately appeared and manifested, because there was a perfect agreement on all levels. I sat under the hand of Sai Baba for many, many, many interviews. And I would watch as a little white glob would appear, a little white light in the center of his palm, as he would circle his palm, circle it down, usually 3 or 4 times, and whatever it was would then manifest out of his palm, and he would grab it quickly. Sometimes it would hover in the air and he'd reach for it. But more than likely, he would catch it as it was materializing into form. One time I had a dream on the inner planes where he was teaching me how to manifest. And I awakened, you know, and I was still feeling this white sticky stuff in the center of my palm. It felt like a melted marshmallow. And I had a red spot in the center of my palm, and it was still hot from where he had been showing me how he manifests. So So he said that it's a spontaneous result of his love. Spontaneous. It isn't premeditated. It isn't a yogic power. It's a spontaneous manifestation of his love, his divine nature. And that's how we manifest anything as well. When all of that integration is in perfect agreement, the love of our own being manifests, because our divine nature is to impart joy and happiness and to express our love. That is how we create in the God realms. And so we're here in trainership to create as God creates, because we're made in the image and likeness of our Creator. So we often hear people say, oh, just go with the flow. Do your bliss. But what does that really mean? What is the difference between just going with the flow and aligning with the purpose of the soul? Well, I'll tell you this. Unless one is self-realized, going with the, quote, flow can be sheer laziness, lack of initiative, and self-determined action. Aligning with the purpose of the soul requires introspection, self-observation, meditation, and self-discipline. One must be willing to apply consistent effort in bringing every area of one's life into that transpersonal alignment with spirit. It actually spells the end of living one's life for selfish self-gratification. It calls one into laying aside personal self-interest and preference in favor of living a life of selfless service for the collective good. What's really at a higher level is the universal self, that ocean of love and mercy, that is our expanded sense of being. So aligning with the purpose of the soul is one's training as a divine co-worker, an emissary and agent of the divine source. And it takes conscious and tremendous willpower to overcome the pulls and the distractions of one's senses, one's habits and comfort zones, one's karmic tendencies, one's lower ego nature, one's glamours and illusions. So that takes a real strong commitment to really live, really live, and embody your deepest longing, your deepest longing. There is nothing that's holding you back. You don't have to wait for a time, or an initiation, or a recognition by some guru. You don't need anything but to call yourself into that and hold yourself to that and embody it as fully as you can in each moment of the day. A good example is when you're in love. You can't think of anything else but your beloved. That's how you have to keep that deepest longing vivified in your awareness. So bottom line, again, what are you here to fulfill this time around? It's very important to ask and answer for yourself certain questions. And the sooner the better you ask these questions and answer them for yourself, you can make the best use of your time here. So why are you here on Earth this time around? You might want to journal this later on when we go off the air. So here are some of the questions to ask yourself to further hone in on specifically what your soul curriculum is for this lifetime. For example, what are you here to learn for yourself and humanity? Because the two are one. What are you here to learn? What are you here to heal in yourself and in humanity? Hint, wherever you hurt, wherever you're offended by what is going on in the world, and the only healing comes through you. Because in highest truth, there is only the one self that we are all embodiments of. So what are you here to learn? And what are you here to heal? And what are you here to forgive in yourself and in humanity? Hint, where you've been offended, and where you take offense, that is what you're here to forgive. Does that mean you passively don't apply any kind of effort to remedy the situation? No. You do whatever you possibly can within your realm, within your connections, within your environment, to better the situation, to heal, to learn, to forgive. And what are you here to contribute to yourself and to humanity? Because you can ultimately only give to yourself, just as you can only forgive yourself. For forgetting, you are divine. And so is everyone else. And what are you here to accomplish for yourself and humanity? And what are you here to overcome? And what are you here to strengthen? And what are you here to say? If you had one parting message to give with your last breath to humanity, that would be your message. What are you here to fulfill for yourself and humanity? Well, obviously, your divine destiny. And what are you here to manifest? Your true, authentic self. That part of you that is birthless, deathless, ever pure, ever present, all knowing, and sheer bliss. So are you living your divine purpose now? Right now. Or are you waiting? So many of us think we have to wait. We have an ideal, but we're not implementing it every moment of the day. Many of us think, oh, well, we'll have that when we die. We'll go to the soul realm or the God realms or whatever. That's not where you actualize. That's where you assimilate, consolidate, and prepare for the next time around. You don't actually make progress out of the body. That's an awful thing to realize. But it's sure going to stop the waiting and the horsing around if you really, really get that. It's in the human form that we return consciously to our natural state, which is oneness with God. That's your natural state. Assuming you're a physical body that has a short lifespan between a birth and a death is a complete fabrication of the mind. No such separate person ever existed. And if you look carefully, you'll realize that is so. What is it that you call this personal self? It's memory, association, experiences, hearsay, things you've been taught and told. And you wind that all up, label it, and define it in limitation, and assume that's who you are. Not one God-realized master will tell you that's who you are. Every one of them will say, you are the immortal divine itself. You've never been born. You can never die or cease to exist. And you're living a dream as if it were real. Wake up. See it only as a play of light, sound, and color. You know, the pure light that transmits a movie onto a blank screen, that pure white light, that's your life stream. That's who you are. And creation is absolutely neutral and blank. But when that light shines through the prism of the mind, it deflects into many, many, many forms of color, different notes, and it forms different imagery. And then we take one of those little images and we say, oh, that's me. No, beloved, you are the pure light before it gets diversified in the prism of the mind, which then projects this imagery on the blank screen of Akasha, or light, or life. When you awaken, you can see that clearly. And then you enjoy a rich, 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 rich life. So, to get in contact with that deepest longing of your heart, this is very simple. This is your clue. Pay attention to whatever causes you to come alive and fully present. It's when all sense of time and space and the personal self vanishes and you're one with whatever it is. That is your true purpose, calling, deepest point of fulfillment. Every creative artist knows that place. Every composer. Every mystic. And certainly every God-realized individual. But that is the point in which you completely lose that limited sense of self. You transcend time, and you lose all sense of separate self-awareness. You know, sometimes we call it being in the zone. But the state that I'm referring to is not a temporary state. It's a state that you actualize and live consciously. And you learn how to modulate and set your frequency so that you can still live a life in the world, but totally transcendental to the world in terms of your attachment or expectations or hopes. You don't need any of those. You just live, breathe in and breathe out, and do what's before you to the best of your ability. So it doesn't look spooky. It doesn't look weird. It's sahaja, natural. Sahaja, samadhi, natural oneness with the self. And that self knows exactly how to behave appropriately without you thinking about it. The state is so natural, you don't have to understand it, you don't have to mentalize it, you don't have to figure it out. You just are your natural self as a divine spirit operating through a human vehicle. In fact, it's so simple, I wonder how in the world people can keep holding up this false image of who they think they are, year after year. My God, that takes a lot of stress, strain, and effort. It's far more difficult to be a person, a human person, in a limited sense, with a label and a name and a definition, than it is to be who you truly are, your natural self. But only you can uncover that natural self and present it. Your guru can't present it for you. Your guru is a way shower. Your guru is a finger pointing out the way. But you have to walk the way. So it can't be given to you from without. You can warm yourself by sitting in the fiery aura of a God of inflamed, realized being. But after you leave that presence, you're going to have to kindle your own spark, your own fire. So where are you in that continuum? Are you waiting? Are you waiting for something? What? What are you waiting for? So let's consider present facts to see where you are right now in your life. If you'd like, you could take inventory of where and upon what you are investing the precious currency of your life force. Really have the courage to raise your awareness above your body and your mind, these concepts you've taken to be yourself, and instead take an objective, impartial look at your current lifestyle. Consider what occupies the major portion of your attention, energy, and time each day. based upon whatever that is, you can see where your life is headed and what your future outcome will be. If you consider each thought, word, and deed as a seed that you've planted that will produce a harvest of like kind, you can see very clearly if you're planting the seeds that are going to produce the harvest that you really want to reap. So what you're doing by taking your own inventory is saving yourself a lot of time and frustration. By clearly observing what is, your overall choices, habits, and focus of attention, your time allocations, you can make any necessary adjustments in fulfilling your life's objectives. The reason why so many miss and waste present opportunities in life is because they're not clear on what they really want in life. They drift through life without a clear intention. So you are right now the product of your intention or lack of conscious intention. You know, during an insight training seminar that I took years ago, a phrase that really caught my attention and stayed with me was this: based on results, it is clear what your intention was. For example, people who are consistently late in getting to work or who don't put their best efforts forward are revealing their underlying intention to not work at that particular place. That behavior will get them fired, which is basically what they want. So their tardiness or lack of commitment are the seeds which reap failure in terms of their employment. Or another one that I think all of us are familiar with is claiming that we want to lose weight and become more healthy. However, the daily choices and what one is putting into one's mouth and stomach reveals the real intention, which is to give in to one's taste buds and self-indulgence, or to make more aware choices. Very easy to see what the intention is here. So there's really no point in making idle statements about wanting to do this or that without a committed strategy in place that one faithfully follows through on. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for failure. You are also developing habits of self-deception, self-sabotage, procrastination, and self-distrust. This is what erodes your self-esteem. This is what creates self-doubt. If you can't trust yourself to follow through on your commitments and what you say you want, well, you don't trust anyone. So that's the seed of distrust that so many people feel and project on the world, or they project on others. But it's really because they have self-sabotage and they have not followed through. They've not matched their thoughts and their words and their intention and their actions in a clear flow of integration. So a wiser approach is to do what you do, but observe what you're doing. Don't say you want to lose weight while you're gorging on pizza and pastries. At least be honest with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, you're not going to be able to embody truth in any way, shape, or form. Be very careful you don't practice self-deception. So the people who actually follow through are those who don't set themselves up by making non-intentionally backed statements. They simply make the wisest and best choice now. They live more consciously and more deliberately, choosing the best moment by moment, day by day. So the intention to live mindfully in every area of one's life is the key to fulfillment, regardless of the overall goal, be it self-realization or weight loss. The same principle. So if you're smart, you won't paint yourself into a corner by making such statements as, I'd never in a million years do that. Beware, you might come back in a million years and do exactly that. Or, I'd never do that. Or, I'll never do that again. You know, maybe you've already discovered, as I have, life has a way of challenging us by often putting us in situations where we end up doing that very thing we've so hotly contested and refuted. So why not keep yourself free? Allow for divine alternatives to show up. For wiggle room to always change your mind and pursue another course. You're under no obligation, but the ones you've set up and hold yourself to. That's why many of us have found it's wise to add, when we make a request, if it's for my highest good, or according to God's will, so that your personal will is not done, but the higher will and plan may prevail. Very important, because you will get what you ask for, whether it's now or in a million years. So if you say, if it's for my highest good, then you've given God absolute wiggle room to bring forward that or something far better that you may not have even considered. So now perhaps another self-inventory is in line here. So based on present factual results, it's clear what my intention was. You could put that as a heading if you like. Based on present factual results, it's clear what my intention was. I make this very personal. We don't usually look at the personal life like this, but I think this is very important to look at one's life from every single possible perspective and lens. So we're going to look tonight at our life. So in terms of your relationships, where are you? Where are you in your relationships? And no one but you decide where you are in your life. So this is strictly between you and you, or you and God, if you will. Where are you in your relationships? Where are you in terms of your money, your finances, your abundance, or your lack? Where are you? Where are you in terms of your job or career, your success and accomplishments, your health and fitness, your lifestyle habits, your spirituality? Where are you? And add any other categories that come up for you, because it's time to get real and honest with ourselves. All of these areas are where we get to practice operating out of our integrated self on a personal level. It's our training. This is our launching platform to go beyond the human objectives in life to our transpersonal soul objective in life, our higher purpose and objective. So it's basically the difference between living from unconscious autopilot habits and patterns and really living from core aliveness and ecstasy. Why put up with dragging yourself through life? Living in slavedom to a job, to an environment, to a relationship, to a place that is totally inconsistent with your joy, your bliss, your core essence, the deepest longing of your heart. Granted, we all have to make a living. That's one of the first things we have to do, is learn to take care of ourselves and make our way in life. We have to be part of our society and our culture and where we're born and the environment in which we move. But you don't have to sell your soul. You don't have to sacrifice the divine imprint to do any of that. You don't have to get a job. You could be so clever as to find a bazillion different ways to bring support in to enable you to do what you're called to do. I speak from experience. I've lived like that for the last 30-some years. But I had to invent my own niche in the world because there was none that existed that fit my divine profile. And you may have to do the same. But I'll tell you, when you want it badly enough, you will do what it takes to do that. So this huge clue we have to pay attention to, and it's this. Pay attention to whatever ignites your inner spark of enthusiasm, whatever makes you come alive inside. Because there you're entering the arena that touches upon your greatest spiritual destiny in life. So you follow that. You explore that area. You pay attention to your inner feelings. Your feelings always give you very accurate feedback if you pay attention. It's a much better guide than your mind. So we've probably all played that game where you're looking for someone or something and you're told that you're getting hotter as you approach it or colder depending on whether you're getting closer or further away. So keep delving deeper into that area that ignites your heart, mind, and soul so that you live a passionate, fully engaged life that's intensely alive. Intensely alive. Don't waste time on anything that makes you go dead inside. That makes you go blah, flatlined. But get involved in whatever causes you to come alive and fully present. If it's an area of artistic or cultural expression, an area of research, investigation, study, a spiritual path of practice, a teacher, a guru, a teaching, a career, occupation, whatever it may be, get involved to whatever extent you possibly can. Volunteer. Take classes. apply for the job, or join the group, whatever. But put your body in a form of commitment to that until it reveals more of you to you. Keep paying attention to the energy. If it's for a time and a season of your life, the interest will fade and drop away when that cycle is completed. And then you release and move to what's next. That's happened to me so many times in my life. I majored in theatrical arts in college and music. I minored in music. And there was a time when I really was passionate about acting. And then at some point, it completely left me. I had no more desire at all to act. None. Completely vanished. And I did that with dancing, too. I was very passionate during the years I was a professional dancer in a dance company. I loved it. Same thing with a circus. I loved being a circus aerialist and bareback rider and a performer. But all those things fell away. I guess they were unfinished karmic momentums that I was eating, as it's called. When you really get involved in something and you know, at one point I was doing Indian dance, I was studying Indian tabla, I was studying Sanskrit and Hindi, and my teacher, John Rogers, said I was eating my Indian karma. And sometimes that's what we do. We get intensely involved in an area, and then it just kind of it fades. You don't have any more interest in that. So pay attention to those things, too, because perhaps it's something that you left undone in a previous incarnation that you just simply need to complete or eat, as it could be called. And then observe how, you know, when you've left that area or that job or that relationship, the next thing that happens is that you need to lay fallow or be empty for a while, because you need a period of time and an interval where you can assimilate and recalibrate, you know, be readjusted to whatever is coming forward next. So many people get really upset then, they get worried, they try to push things, they try to force finding a job or get into another relationship, and they just, you know, they don't give themselves any time for something wonderful and new and more appropriate for their new cycle to appear. So allow yourself to lay fallow and to be empty and to not have anything going on for a while so that you can integrate and process and allow yourself to be prepared for your new season and cycle. So we've all experienced this in-between rest and integrate season, in between jobs and careers and relationships and initiations. Same thing. Once you're initiated into a higher state of consciousness, you have to move in and learn how to operate at that higher level. That takes time. You have to own that new level of consciousness and move in and secure it. It's only when you're secured in it that you can take your next initiation. And one initiation could take, you know, a whole life to integrate. So whatever is next shows up. It's simply the natural flow of the life process. You don't have to sweat it. So what do I do if I don't feel anything and I don't know what to do? The most important thing is to enjoy what is available and to be enjoyed, so that you do whatever you enjoy. Whatever you find uplifts you, makes you happy, whatever that is, you're still contributing to what it is you're being divinely guided to do. So make yourself happy. Don't wait. Bring your own party. make yourself happy. Create your own happiness that you carry as a portable paradise around you. Find ways to do that. You can do it. You can make yourself miserable. You can certainly make yourself happy. It's just a matter of focus and attitude. So it's a spiritual principle that whatever we need is always at hand and can be found right where we are. Nature demonstrates that principle by always having a poisonous plant growing near to its antidote. Very interesting how that happens. So you can't have a problem that the solution is not present already. Back to back with the problem is always the spiritual solution. Yes, it's always a spiritual solution. You can't fix things in the dream except through a temporary band-aid of imagination. But the real solution is always a spiritual realization. So when you don't know what to do, there is always a greater power and presence that loves, guides, and looks after you. Never forget that. That one knows everything about you and whatever is for your highest good. Connect with that greater power and presence through prayer, through faith, through meditation, or direct knowing. Wherever you are in that relationship with yourself and with the divine, tuck in and keep building on that until it's just the natural way that you live. So what you need will always show up. And you don't need to know how. You just need to know and trust that it will. Everything in nature is provided for. But the human being is the only one who doubts and worries. And since your problems and solutions come as one, can you see how absolutely pointless it is to worry about something that hasn't yet shown up in your life? Pay attention how that wastes your energy and your time and causes unnecessary stress. To worry about something before it has shown up in your life with a solution. Mark that. So often when we do this worry and doubt trip, we as a soul will put our personal self into situations where we have absolutely no one and nothing we can turn to but God or nature or providence, whatever you want to call that otherness. So that too is a season worth enduring if it produces trust and confidence. So important to honor the seasons of your life, to honor your process, and to every day keep wooing and courting and moving deeper into that which is the deepest longing of your heart. What if it is to love and be loved? Well, I call that the initiation of the heartache and heartbreak, to finally give birth to the Sacred Heart, which seems to have been the path that I took in this lifetime. Many heartaches, many heartbreaks, many who came and left and deserted and abandoned and all of that. Until finally the heart was so utterly, utterly broken, one was too devastated to even weep. One could scarcely breathe One could only observe it in absolute silence. And that's what happened to this one that is speaking to you right now. But out of that, the most sacred heart got born. That was a universal heart that no longer sought personal love, that no longer needed personal love or approbation or appreciation. That personal element that was always seeking love absolutely dissolved in a universal love, which is now covers everything and everyone. There's no need for the personal at all. So I can say from direct experience that if you're on that path of the achy, breaky heart, hang in there. Hang in there, because the love that you're really seeking is the love that has no boundaries. It has no exclusions. It has no singular focus. It is omnipresent. That is that ocean I've been speaking about for the last several seminars. You are in that ocean of love. It's a vast, limitless realm of consciousness that's everywhere and everything and everyone. And the little individual loves rise like little waves. And then they melt into that universal all that is. Until, beloveds, you're going to live everywhere in the heart and presence of the beloved, in you, as you, through you. And you'll have landed in the deepest longing of your heart to be the only love that ever was, that ever will be. And that's you. As the pure love of God. That is who you are. You are love. Any other definition, label, is temporary. You'll get over it. But spirituality is ever-expanding love. That's all. That's all it is. So if you want to do the right thing at any given moment, love. Love it. Embrace it. Accept it. Every person you see, everyone that brings you on the phone, everyone who knocks on your door, see it as the one beloved that you love with all your heart. That's Jesus coming to visit you. That's Sai Baba. That's Divine Mother. You know, what's your favorite person in that one that's coming to see you or contacting you? So when you don't know what to do, beloved, choose the most loving action. And you'll always be in the right positioning to fulfill the deepest longing of your heart. So I hope this has been helpful to you. The only thing we have ever longed for is the love of God. And we are that already and forever. We just need to recognize it. So let's go out chanting three Anai Hues. Deep breath. Anai Hues. Anai Hues. And just allow your love to expand. expand to cover this earth, all people, all situations, all problems, all issues, all in loving exchanges, and just see everything dissolve in the perfect love of God. And be that. God bless you, and have a blessed week ahead as the living love that you are. Namaste.